Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it off.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
Welcome to the show. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I am your leader. You are my minions. You are my followers for the next 2 hours. I will guide you through this crazy world that we call sports and the things that have happened this week and the things that we will talk about and the memories that we will create over the next 2 hours will be priceless. My digits, 917-889-8516. Also, you can catch us on the social media world at T-Balance. And don't forget our sister social media sites at ProIndy, at IndyNMA.com, and at Too Hot Corner. The Balance team has you covered in every type of angle that you would like. And I tell you what a great weekend it is. It's Labor Day weekend. Perhaps you're getting ready for your barbecues, your BBQs, or going out to the U.S. Nationals out at Lucas Oil Raceway. That's where I plan to be all weekend long. Myself and the entire Balance team will have you covered. And make sure that you guys check out our YouTube channel, you know, throughout the weekend as we'll be updating it with all the action from out there at Lucas Oil Raceway. And I tell you what, if you have never been to the U.S. Nationals, the NHRA U.S. Nationals, you do not know what you're missing. We're going to be talking about that. Of course, last week we had Brittany Force on the air with us and talking with us about the Traxxas shootout and what's coming up with her. And you know what? She got into the Traxxas shootout. We like to think that here at The Balance that we at least played a small role in making that happen, because we know a lot of you guys went to our website, www.thebalanceonline.com, and voted for Brittany. So we take a small amount of credit for it. But what a fantastic interview that was, and what a fantastic racing family the Force family is. And, you know, so you'll get a chance to watch them out there. Of course, Fast Jack Beckman and many other NHRA legends, superstars, and up-and-coming. They got everything from the Flooded Car series to the, well, they call them jet cars, to the fuel cars. I tell you what, motorcycles, if it goes fast, it's out at the NHRA this weekend. Get on out there all weekend long. They're going to be out there. We're going to be out there. Really, I don't know what else could be more important to you than being out at Lucas Oil Raceway Labor Day weekend, and I hope you guys are ready for a nice, fun, yet safe. Keep safe out there. Don't drink and drive. Ain't cool. Don't go to jail, anything like that. I'm officially out of bail money, so not going to be bailing any of you minions out if you go out there and get stupid. 917-889-8516 is the digits. You know, we got a good show on tap for you. You know, not only are we going to be talking about the Chevy Performance U.S. Nationals out at Lucas Oil Raceway, but we are also going to be talking about Tony Stewart and him breaking his silence and You know, as you know, he had a presser yesterday where he read a prepared statement. We're going to share that press conference, if not in its entirety, most of it, and on the show this morning. So we're going to do that here in a few moments. Then we're going to get into the conversation about Tony Stewart. And also, you can go to our website, and we'd like to hear your poll, answer our poll question. Should Tony Stewart return to racing? That's a simple yes or no question. A couple other options there for you. Just go to www.thebalanceonline.com and make your vote today. We want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear your opinions on Tony Stewart. And then also, you know, we're always delighted to have good guests that take the time to come on our show and talk with us about what's going on at their racetrack. And, you know, throughout the racing season, we have an opportunity to have various different people from various different racetracks. You know, of course, the president of Michigan International Raceway we've had on. We've had people on from Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Just a lot of different tracks that we like to have on. And typically, you know, we like to have them on, you know, a week or so before. And this is a big NASCAR weekend, you know, obviously for the return of Smoke, Tony Stewart. And so, you know, that's going to be carrying over for a few weeks. And so certainly next week is going to be out at Richmond International Raceway for the Federated Auto Parts 400. And so we've got Dennis Brickmeyer, president of the Richmond International Raceway, give us a call here at the bottom of the hour. And going to be talking about Richmond and certainly about the Federated Auto Parts 400. But, you know, the carryover that's going to be that, which is just an inedible. That is a word. Look it up. Google it right now. It's a short track, certainly a track that Tony has a lot of memories in. And it's going to be interesting to see the carryover from Atlanta over to Richmond. So we're going to have that conversation. And then we're going to get into some college football Saturday. College football Saturday is back. Boys and girls, Notre Dame is back on the field. Of course, IU and Indiana State. We've got college football, a lot of college football to talk about. 10:30, we've got Gene Walker from over at Indiana Talks. And by the way, thanks for all of our fans at Indiana Talks that listen to us on our encore episode from 1 to 3 on Indiana Talks. Just go to at Indiana Talks or www.indianatalks, and, you know, we'll be right there. You can't miss us. So, hey, you know, as we always say here on The Balance, that if you miss anything, you've missed a lot. So 2 hours, get ready, get set, buckle up. It's time to go. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to be talking some Smoke. Tony Stewart, that is.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious
delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports. March, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Here he comes, here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels. He's a demon and he's gonna be chasing after someone. He's gaining on you, so you better look alive. He's busy revving up the powerful Mach 5. And when the odds are against him and they're dangerous working, you bet your life, Speed Racer, you'll see it through. So Speed Racer.
All right, now can't beat Speed Racer on a Saturday morning. It takes you back to the days of getting up early on Saturday morning, eating those Cheerios, and just sucking down all that sugar milk at the bottom, and just being glued to cartoons on Saturday morning. Who remembers that? Let me see a show of hands. Amen. I'll tell you what. They don't have cartoons on Saturday morning the way they used to. This younger generation, they do not know what they're missing. You know, we had everything. It was all day. And then after that, you know, you had things like, you know, the weekend specials. And you remember School Rock, Fraggle Rock, you know, Bill the Kid. All right, I digress. And so my name is Tom Marquisel, Presidente. I assume that the rest of the team will be joining us at some point, that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman, perhaps $2 Bill Josh. But it doesn't really matter because you know what? I am here, and I am the foremost authority for you today, and at least for the next 2 hours. We've got 1 hour and 47 minutes, actually, left on the clock. You know, I wanted to get into this conversation, and certainly, you know, it's been beat to death, and we've talked about it on this show, and we spent almost a whole show talking about it after it happened, and we... are going to talk about it a little bit more today because it is such a tragic event, an event where really nobody won from this situation. I mean, I guess you could rush to judgment, if you will. It depends on what side of the fence that you're on. Of course, you know by now what I'm talking about is Tony Stewart and the tragic event that happened in upstate New York a little over 3 weeks ago. And Tony was up there for Watkins Glen, and as he does at a lot of places that he participates in the sprint, midget, off track, dirt track, Silver Crown Series, various different non-NASCAR races because he's a racer. That's what he does, and it's certainly not uncommon for racers to do that. We've seen others do that as well, and you know Ryan Newman as well. So we see drivers get into cars that are non-NASCAR. And certainly we can get into the conversation. Is this something that NASCAR should allow to happen? The thing about it is, would that have changed the event? It would have changed it for Tony. It may not have changed an event like this happening with another racer at another time. Racers are going to be very passionate people. And I've been around them for a good number of years. It's certainly one of the anchors of this show and one of the huge huge fan base that we have here on this show. That's why we dedicate, you know, an hour to it every day is because we have a lot of race fans. We follow racing a lot, and we enjoy it. It's one of our favorite things to do. So we've gotten to know a lot of these race car drivers over the years. We've gotten a chance to talk with them and interview, and Tony's no different. And Tony's from here in Indiana and certainly down in Columbus. And as you know, an incident happened in upstate New York a little over three weeks ago, where there was some aggressive racing going on at the racetrack. Kevin Ward Jr. and Tony Stewart, really what happened was Kevin Ward Jr. was sent into the wall when his car was bumped by Stewart in a dirt track race. And that was in upstate New York. And Ward got out of his car and walked onto the track, where he was eventually hit and killed by Tony Stewart. At least one other driver that we know for a fact was able to miss Kevin Ward Jr. You know, we saw some very harsh remarks made toward Tony Stewart. You know, maybe, and even on this show, maybe we rushed to a, oh, well, Tony's a hothead, Tony meant to do this. Maybe he did not. Let me be very careful with my words here. I would never say that Tony Stewart intentionally hit and killed Kevin Ward Jr. I think this was a tragic accident, an accident of racing. I think that our conversations could go to the aspect, was Tony Stewart trying to put the fear of God in this kid? That's one thing. Or maybe Tony just legitimately did not see him. If you've seen how race cars are positioned and put together, there's not a lot of turn room in the headspace. So perhaps maybe he really did not realize how close Kevin Ward Jr. was. Bottom line is Kevin Ward Jr. got out of his car, approached Tony Stewart's car during a race, even though it was on caution. Tony's back tire hit Kevin Ward Jr. and eventually killed Kevin Ward Jr. Well, the law enforcement community still has an active investigation going on, but they pretty much concluded that there was no criminal wrongdoing here. So Tony was not found criminally liable. A lot of people may disagree with that, but that's the law, and that's what we have to go by. And certainly they know their investigations and are the expert far better than I am. So I rely on the appropriate law enforcement community to make that decision. And if they've made a wrong decision, well, they made a wrong decision. But at this point, I don't see anything that shows me that they made a wrong decision. So Tony has had to take some time out. And as we know, we've talked about it on this show, when is Tony Stewart coming back? And nobody knew. Nobody knew until this weekend. And earlier this week, when a press release was issued by Stewart Haas Racing, which is obviously the racing team that Tony Stewart is partners in. And so they issued a statement saying that Tony will be returning to the racetrack in Atlanta this weekend. He'll be racing in probably one of the toughest races Tony Stewart has ever done. And, you know, I've known Tony. I mean, I know him real personally, just professionally, and I've had a chance to interact with him and talk with him. And he's very rugged and rough on the edges. But what I do know about Tony, he's a very good man, very caring man. He does a lot for charity. He does a lot for his sponsors. He does a lot for his fans. And he's tough on the edges. I mean, we know that he's had his own interactions with the media, other race car drivers, and maybe you could say that Tony is a hothead. Maybe that would be a definition, or maybe it's just someone who has a lot of passion for what they do. And don't we all? I mean, I have a lot of passion in what I do here, and I'm sure that you do in your work. And, you know, we look at other athletes that there's just a lot of passion that happens. And sometimes things happen that cause that passion to be channeled in maybe in some eyes a negative direction. So it's time for Tony to get back into the track, the race car, according to him and his race family. He spoke in Atlanta yesterday about that, and he read a prepared statement. And I thought, well, you know, we could talk about it, and we could talk it to death and analyze it, But I thought it would be appropriate, because really one of the foundations of our show here is that we do things from the fans' perspective. It's not my job to make your mind up for you. You've made your mind up, or maybe you haven't, or maybe you don't need to. But the point is, this is what he had to say to his fans. We're going to try to play as much of this press conference as we can. It's only about 8 to 10 minutes, and then we're going to, on the back end of it, we're going to talk a little bit more about it. And then at 9:35, we've got a more positive note. We've got the president of Richmond International Raceway going to be joining us, talking to us about the Federated Auto Parts 400 next week. And certainly we'll probably have a little bit of conversation about Tony Stewart as well. Well, my name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We'll be right back right after this. What we're going to do is we're going to go right to this press conference yesterday. This is yesterday in Atlanta, Tony Stewart and his press conference to his fans.
Good morning. I'm Mike Arning, Director of Communication for Stewart Haas Racing. And thank you all very much for your time this afternoon here at Atlanta. Up here is Tony Stewart, driver, owner of Stewart Haas Racing, and Brett Food, Executive Vice President, Stewart Haas Racing. Tony has prepared some remarks, and we'll go ahead and let him read those. Tony, the floor is yours.
Thanks. This has been one of the toughest tragedies I've ever had to deal with, both professionally and personally. And this is something that will definitely affect my life forever. This is a sadness and a pain that I hope no one ever has to experience in their life. With that being said, I know that the pain on the morning that Kevin Ward's family and friends are experiencing is something that I can't possibly imagine. I want Kevin's father, Kevin Sr., and his mother, Pam, and his sisters, Christy and Kayla and Caitlin, to know that every day I'm thinking about them and praying for them. The racing community is a large family, as you guys know, and everyone's saddened with this tragedy. I want to thank all my friends and family for their support through this tough emotional time. And the support from the NASCAR community, my partners, all of our employees has been overwhelming. I've taken the last couple weeks off out of respect for Kevin and his family, and also to cope with the accident in my own way. It's given me the time to think about life and how easy it is to take it for granted. I miss my team, my teammates, and I miss being back in the race car, and I think that being back in the car this week with my racing family will help me get through this difficult time. I also understand that all of you have many questions and want a lot of answers, but however, I need to respect the ongoing investigation process and cannot answer and address the questions this time. Emotionally, I'm not sure if I could answer them anyway. I'm here to race this weekend, and I appreciate your respect, and there will be a day when I can sit here and answer the questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. And again, Brett Frood, Executive Vice President of Stewart Haas Racing, will be available to take a handful of questions. We do have some folks here with the Speedway with microphones. We do ask that you raise your hand, and when a microphone is brought to you, you state your name and affiliation. We'll start in the back with Tom, then Nate, Ed, and then we'll work over here in the back.
Hi, Brett. Tom Jensen, Fox Sports 1. NASCAR issued a statement yesterday that Tony had received all necessary clearances to race. What was the process of going through clearances, and what approvals did he need?
Well, as you all know, when a driver's out of the car, there is that process. And I'm not going to get into the medical side of it, but I will say we've been in close contact with them throughout the process and have gotten them what they needed to
get him back in the car right now.
So we'll go with Nate and then Ed.
Nate Ryan, USA Today Sports. Brett, the investigation, as we understand, in Ontario County is still open. Was there any thought to not having Tony race until it was closed, and why now?
Well, you know, I think for Tony, it's all about this healing process, and that's part of why he's in the car. You know, besides his mom, his dad, his sister, his niece and nephew, his family is here. It's at this racetrack. And I think it's just part of the healing process, being with this family that he's been with for since 1999 and knowing that these people are going to help him get through this. I think that's one side of it. The other side of it is he's a racer. We've got 270 employees. And I think him putting a helmet on will help him cope with the situation.
Ed?
Ed Hinton, ESPN.com. Brett, respecting the process, the investigation, knowing there's things you can't comment on, are you able to say whether you know whether Tony has a clear picture in his own mind of what happened that second or two that night?
I am not going to comment on the incident itself. It was a tragic accident, and right now I want the focus to be on Tony in the car this weekend and how he's going to get through this.
We'll go with Bob and then Claire.
Bob Cocker, Sporting News. The fact that Tony is racing this weekend, should we read anything into that about what you know about the investigation and where it's at in the process?
No, I mean, we've really been respecting the process, as Tony said, in the investigation. Him being in the race car right now is about him getting through what has been a very emotional 2 weeks and what his next step is in coping with this. There's been a great deal of empathy and sympathy for that family and what they're going through. And for Tony, it's just been extremely emotional, and this is what is going to help him.
Claire.
Claire B. Lang, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. Can you talk about where Tony is at emotionally right now to step into the car, where his emotional state is at, and was it 100% his choice not to race the last couple of weeks without the involvement of the sanctioning body that we will hear from next?
I'll address the latter first. Yes, the decision to be in the car is 100% Tony's. Can you repeat the first question? I'm sorry.
Yes, please define his emotional state at this stage to step back into the car. Very fragile Tony Stewart at this point.
You just saw Tony. He's very emotional. It's been a difficult 2 weeks. But Tony is ready to be in the race car. He wouldn't be here if he wasn't.
Marty.
Marty Smith, ESPN. Brett, sort of following up on what Claire just asked, you've worked for Tony for a long time. You've seen him in ways we have not. How would you characterize his preparation for this and what you think he'll experience as he gets back in the car?
I think it's going to be very overwhelming being in that garage today, and he's going to feel an awful lot of support. As I just mentioned, this is his family. It's the crew members, it's the officials, it's the drivers, it's his family that he's been with since 1999, and this is going to be part of that process for him. I believe it's going to be an overwhelming process this weekend. That being said, Tony Stewart's a race car driver. He's been a race car driver for the past 35 years. When he puts that helmet on in practice, I'm quite convinced he'll be ready to race the car, and he'll be able to separate the two.
Paul had one right here.
Brett, why do you, I mean, this obviously is a tremendous tragedy, but obviously in the sport of racing, these guys learn to kind of deal that's part of the sport in a sense. Why do you think this has hit Tony so hard?
Because he was involved in an accident and a young man died. I can't imagine what he's going through. I can't imagine what the kid's parents are going through. It's just something, as Tony said, that he hopes no one in this room and certainly anywhere will ever have to go through. He's involved in a tragic accident.
And we're going to finish up with two more back here, and then George.
Gabe Gutierrez is with NBC News. I noticed Tony mentioned Kevin Ward's family members by name. Has he reached out to them personally at all?
Tony has sent the family flowers and a card around the services.
Besides that, he's been very respectful of them and their time to grieve. I do know that it'll be very important, is important for Tony to spend time with the family, and I do believe that will happen in the appropriate time.
All right, we're gonna go ahead and cut it off there because we do have to go to a break. As you know, you were just hearing the presser from Tony Stewart out in Atlanta yesterday, talking about just what it's going through to emotionally go through this, and I can see both sides of this. It's just, to me, it's just a terrible tragedy that's happened. Well, we're going to take a break, and we get back here in a few more minutes. We're going to have the president of Richmond International Raceway talking with us about the upcoming race next weekend in advance of Richmond International Raceway. We'll certainly, obviously, continue our conversation about Tony Stewart. You know, on into today's show, maybe a little bit later on with Gene Walker as well. But, you know, the thing about it is, I think what we all have to understand is that this is racing, things happen, but this is just an extraordinary thing that's happened. Again, my name's Saul Marquis, El Presidente. We'll be right back right after this.
Hello, this is Mark Timmons of Timmons Water Systems, 728 East Main Street in Brownsburg, and we invite you to come out and check out our salt and bottled water drive-through that we have, where we'll load the water right into your trunk or salt right into your trunk. You don't even have to get out of your car. But while you're there, if you want to check out and see how we can fix your bad water, like iron, sulfur, rotten egg smell, hardness, bad-tasting water, ask us how we can fix your water at a minimal cost. Give us a call at 852-3005 or check us out on the web at wefixbadwater.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
199 left, and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
Minions, welcome back to the Balance. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. I'm on digits 917-889-8516. Follow us on the social media mecca world that we have set up for you. Multi-platforms, Facebook. Go to Facebook, search us, The Balance. You'll find us. Also, we've got some partner teams that just make us all mesh and meld together. If you like pro sports out of Indianapolis, you're going to love our sister team, if you will, Pro Indy. And Pro Indy covers everything Indianapolis sports, the Colts, the Indians, the Fever, any type of racing that's going on here, any type of college football, basketball, baseball. If it's pro sports related or close to being pro sports, the Indy 11 or anything like that in the city of Indianapolis, Pro Indy is there for you. Just follow them at Pro Indy or just go to their Facebook page and hit like at Pro Indy. And then, for those of you that are huge IndyCar fans, like myself and like many of our fans are, we've got at Indian May, at Indian May on IndianMay.com, and go to Facebook, Indian May, and then follow us on Twitter, at Indian May, as well. So see, multi-platforms, so many different integrations and ways to gel and mesh with the Balance. We've got you covered. Everything right here at the Balance Radio Studios, we've got you covered. And, you know, it was good to hear that press conference again. If, for those of you that didn't hear it from Tony Stewart out in Atlanta before the break, and just you could just tell in his voice that it just was really something that he's really dealing with. And I think we as fans and as media, we need to just step back a little bit and really look at the big picture of it all. And again, there's no winners at all. But we're a winner right now here at The Balance because we are certainly pleased to have our next guest with us as well as we get geared up for Richmond coming up next week. Here is the president of Richmond International Raceway. How are you doing, Dennis?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Hey, it's so good that you could join us. I know that it's a busy week as well in NASCAR racing as well, and I do want to get to the big race coming out there in Richmond next week, the Federated Auto Parts 400. And I apologize if I said that wrong. My screen just kind of did a funky thing on me. But Dennis Brickmeyer, president of the Richmond International Raceway, and Dennis, I appreciate. Appreciate you joining us on this Labor Day weekend and taking some time to join us. You know, before we went to the break, and I'm sure obviously you know what's going on with this with Tony Stewart. You know, I guess I don't want to get into a big long conversation because we certainly want to talk about your race and your track. But the thing about it is timing, I guess, as opposed to a place to your part. You're going to see a lot of carryover from Atlanta to your track at Richmond, and Tony's memories in his relationship with the fans in Richmond, and he's great in the short track. There's so many levels that are going to carry over from Atlanta to Richmond. When you look at Tony Stewart, just as a race fan, when all of this has come together over the past 3 weeks, Dennis, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think first and foremost, I mean, I think we continue, and like Tony said in his press conference yesterday, let's remember, what's the most important here, and you always got to remember that, you know, someone lost their life in a tragic accident, and you got to remember the Ward family and always keep them in your thoughts, and I think we've all been keeping Tony in our thoughts as well. You know, I think the biggest thing that stuck out to me yesterday, excuse me, I'm sorry, and you mentioned it, was, you know, you could see the emotion, hear the emotion, and you know, and Tony said it best, he hopes that no one ever has to go through this, and I can't even imagine what he's been through these past couple of weeks, but for me, I'm happy, I'm glad to see him back in the race car. I think it's good. I think that you know, for him, it's part of the process as well, and this is far from over. I mean, this is still, you know, he's got to still go day by day by day. But getting back in the race car, I think, is a great step for him. So, you know, I think we got to continue to give Tony his space and let him do the things that he needs to do. And, again, I think maybe the other big thing that stuck out to me yesterday is I really felt like his return to the race car was on his terms. And I like that. And I think that's a good place to be, too, because, like I said, it's got to be his decisions and, you know, day by day, minute by minute.
And we're talking with Dennis Brickmeyer, president of Richmond International Raceway. And you're right, it does have to be a day-by-day thing. And, you know, certainly, I guess the other question that I would have, just because you're a president of a racetrack, and certainly I understand that NASCAR is the sanctioning body of races that may come to you, but as a short track, I'm sure that you have, I don't have your entire schedule, but I'm sure you have other races and stuff that are there throughout the year. My question to you would be, Was there a lesson learned, or maybe even a better question, is you as an executive, two parts, as racing, in the racing community, do you think that there was a lesson learned here by Kevin Ward Jr. that it's dangerous to get out of your car, you know, as passionate as you may be of what's going on at the moment, it's very dangerous to get out of your car. What kind of steps has Richmond International Raceway did in drivers' meetings and meetings coming up next week that you'll have with NASCAR drivers? It seems like common sense, especially with drivers at this level, but unfortunately things do happen. How do you guys keep events from happening or deal with them if they do happen?
Well, I think the biggest thing is being in sync and in coordination with the sanctioning body. And really, you know, when we get into the racing event like that, you know, that's NASCAR's show to operate. And, you know, I the one thing that I always say when we – it doesn't matter, you know, where it is, what race, track, what race, what type of race, it doesn't matter. We always learn something about safety. And, you know, this was another reminder of you know, what you need to do on the racetrack. And safety is, we always look at it as kind of ever-evolving. We're a safer sport today because of something that happened 10 years ago, maybe even 20 years ago, or maybe just last week. So I think we always learn lessons from races, that's for sure. So, and then I think when you look at this situation and you see that NASCAR came out with a rule in writing as opposed to, you know, kind of a policy or but it's a hard and fast rule, and I like that. And so I think, you know, the biggest thing is, and I think the drivers are always reminded in the drivers meeting and everything to you know, stay buckled in, be cautious of the safety vehicles that are out there, listen to the safety personnel. Now, we all know that this is a highly emotional sport, and especially when you get on a short track and things like that, it's always close quarters. There's always something happening right around you. So, you know, I think the biggest thing is you got to think safety first.
Well, certainly, you talk about short tracks. Let's just get into your race coming up next weekend. Obviously, a big race and one of the most popular races, if you will, out in the NASCAR circuit. Well, outside of coming here to Indianapolis. Sorry, I'm just a little biased there. I'm just kidding. I love watching NASCAR on the short track. It's really one of my favorite things to do. And, you know, it's unfortunate we used to have a NASCAR out at to what is now Lucas Oil Raceway. It used to be ORP here in Indianapolis. They moved that around. Of course, we got the U.S. Nationals this weekend out there. But the thing about it is there's just something special about a short track, and you've got the Federated Auto Parts 400 coming up next weekend at Richmond. And really, you don't get any better than Richmond, Virginia, short track, NASCAR fans. It is, if anything, it's the holy mecca of NASCAR, maybe up against Bristol or Talladega, but Richmond's got to be up in the top three of NASCAR fans. Huge event that you guys put on every year. How exciting is it for you guys to get ready for the Federated Auto Parts 400 next weekend?
Well, it's an amazing, you know, feeling to get ready for this race next week, to, you know, be in that one last race to make the chase. And we love our spot on the NASCAR schedule, and you hit it, you know, just right in regards to Richmond. I mean, we've been here for a long time, and, you know, Richmond's been running NASCAR races for about 68 years now, and we've got a phenomenal fan base here in the greater Richmond area, but also up and down, you know, the Mid-Atlantic region. But I think, you know, most important for this race, again, as I mentioned, is that one last race. There's a lot on the line for a few drivers to try to get into the chase for the Sprint Cup. So, you know, we know right now, as we talk here today, there are 12 drivers with wins, and they're in. There may be a 13th winner in Atlanta. We don't know, but we'll certainly know all the scenarios coming out of Atlanta, whether it's three spots available or four spots available. And that's what we love about sitting in this spot, and I think this is why our fans love this September race as well, just because, you know, there's so much drama already at Richmond. We're the only three-quarter mile track that the Sprint Cup Series races on. So that's, you know, it's a unique opportunity, but it's really unique to be able to see all this drama unfold and then know when the checkered flag flies that, okay, it's playoff time for NASCAR.
Well, absolutely. It is definitely playoff time, and especially with the way that NASCAR has changed around the chase rules. And you know, not to dwell on Tony Stewart, but that could definitely affect him, even if he wins the next three races, because of the fact that he wasn't in the actual car itself. And I think that there were some new rules about that. And certainly I don't think they envisioned having to deal with this or make a decision about this. Let me ask you this, though. One, what are your thoughts about the new chase rules? You think it's a good thing, a bad thing? I know that they're always trying to change things to try to help the fans, but I think a lot of times when you get into a tight situation like the new rules is going to do, and then you layer on the Tony Stewart issue where, you know, even if he wins, the chances are of him being in the chase are slim. So what are your thoughts as a NASCAR executive, track executive, what are your thoughts about the new chase rules and how it affects you guys?
Well, we like the new format. I mean, it's, you know, it was interesting. We were a little nervous, I'll tell you, early on when there was, I can't remember the stat now, but it was 9 races and 9 different winners, and we're like, are we going to get all the way to 16? That's going to be really interesting. But then, you know, some drivers started to double up and even triple up on wins. We just saw Joey Logano do that in Bristol last weekend. So I think for the fans that I've talked to, they understand this a lot better as it relates to the win and you're in, and they like the 16 cutoff instead of the 12. I think where it's really going to really pay off, or the fans are really going to rally around it even more, is once we get into the 10 and you start eliminating drivers, you know, 4 drivers after 3 races, and then another 4 after another 3 races, and then another 4 until you get down to that final 4. I think one of the things that the fans that I've talked to said, you know, they got a little frustrated sometimes when we would get to the last race of the year at Homestead Miami Speedway, and you know, whatever driver, maybe it was Jimmy Johnson, all he needed to do was finish 23rd or better. To them, it took some of the drama out of it. It took some of the some of that head-to-head competition that you love to see in sports. I mean, sports is the ultimate reality show. So you want to see, you know, whether it's 4 or however many drivers, and it's 4 in this case. It's the first one of the checkered flag wins. We understand that as sports fans. It's the one who scores the most points in a football game wins, baseball game wins. And so now I think that's why fans, again, that I've talked to have kind of really rallied around this.
Well, we're talking with Dennis Brickmile, president of the Richmond International Speedway. Also, joining us, Dennis, is my partner in crime and counterpart. Always fashionably late to the show, but anyway, Redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman, and believe it or not, Dennis, and you come from the part of country where rednecks are common. You would not think you could find a redneck in Philly, but you can, literally, and he lives here in Indianapolis with us. And he's part of our balance team. But, Kevin, that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman, what do you got for Dennis Brickmeyer, president of Richmond International Raceway?
Well, I'll say this. That was one of the when I was stationed down in Virginia Beach, I made the trip to Richmond at a single race. And the infield, well, it's not the infield, but the where the vehicles are parked is probably – one of the, I'll tell you this, Tom, it can compare with the Coke lot easily. Here is the Indy. It's a, Richmond is a fun track, and it's entertaining. But I will say this, when it goes to watching a race, the one thing I love about Richmond is when you sit there, you can see the entire track. You can see everything, which as a NASCAR fan, you don't get that a lot. So, you know, race experience, I have to say that Richmond is one of the best tracks I've ever been to see the entire thing.
Well, we appreciate that, and thank you for your service. And we do get a lot of our military personnel to come from a lot of the bases around here. We're pretty fortunate in that regard. We actually just had Kevin Harvick out at Fort Eustis last week, going around and meeting with some of the soldiers, so that was pretty cool. But I know exactly the area of the racetrack you're talking about. As soon as you said infield and then corrected yourself, I said he's talking about the tailgating out in Lot D, which is just outside of Turn 1. And Richmond's is pretty well known for its tailgating experience. I'll tell you, when I got here a couple of years ago and we sat down for a pre-race meeting, I looked at the schedule, and the first thing that popped out at me was the parking lots opened up at 7:30 a.m. And I said, why do we open the parking lots up at 7:30 a.m. for a 7:30 p.m. race? And I quickly found out that people have breakfast, lunch, and dinner here out in the tailgate lot, that's for sure.
And they don't serve coffee, I'm sure, huh?
We used to come on Thursday. There's a group of us that would come Thursday night with our RVs and stuff, and we would leave Sunday night.
Well, I tell you, I'm really we're talking with Dennis Brickmeyer, president of Richmond International Raceway, and our partner in crime, Redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. Kevin, it sounds like your voice is going, so we'll kind of give you a break there. But it's on my bucket list to get to Richmond. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to get there next weekend, but it is on my bucket list to get there. And I enjoy going to a lot of different tracks. And, you know, another good friend of our show here is Roger Curtis from up at Michigan International Raceway, which I know you're very familiar with him and his track up there. What a great scene they have. You know, I live here in Indianapolis, and, you know, we are the top of the line when it comes to auto racing out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. With both NASCAR, IndyCar, and, of course, the MotoGP. They certainly know how to put on an event. But I love going to the small tracks. And, you know, recently I've had an opportunity to go to Bristol and Talladega. So Richmond is definitely on my bucket list. It's certainly one of the great exciting things about Richmond International Raceway is it's under the lights, it's dark, and it's a lot of fun. Like you mentioned, a 7 p.m. race, and there's just something, you know, that's something that we can't even offer here at Indianapolis, maybe in the future sometime, certainly been in discussion, but we don't have lights out here, so we have all of our races are in the daytime, and if weather or whatever pushes things over to the next day, well, so be it. But, you know, there's just really something cool about watching NASCAR particularly. And I certainly have had the opportunity to do that out at Daytona and other tracks. But just certainly one of the fun opportunities of Richmond is that you guys offer a night race. And how cool is that?
We love it. I mean, we've done all of our racing here since we put lights in. Under the lights, and the one thing that I always get from the drivers, again, first of all, they like it because it's a unique racetrack, being the 3/4 mile, and again, they don't Sprint Cup side, they only get that twice a year. But to do all of our racing under the lights, you talk to guys in the Nationwide Series, you talk to drivers in the Sprint Cup Series, they like it because so many of them grew up Friday night short track racing or Saturday
right.
night short track racing. So to them, it's a throwback kind of race. And they love the feel of that. The cars look different under the lights. They look faster. You know, the community rallies around it. So, and I think our fans, too, I think if you poll a lot of our fans, they'll tell you the same thing. I mean, they cut their teeth going to small tracks in their local communities on Friday and Saturday night. So they're used to this type of racing. They're used to the kind of the vibe of a night race, which is why I think they like it so much.
Well, we're talking with Dennis Brickmeyer, president of the Richmond International Raceway. We're talking about the Federated Auto Parts 400, the big NASCAR race that's coming down after Atlanta. And certainly this is when drivers are going to get desperate. And it's certainly one of the most anticipated events of the year. And as we mentioned earlier, and especially now, Dennis, that drivers are going to be desperate for points. You know, and as much as we as fans, as we want everybody to be safe, one of the great things that we like about NASCAR racing, let's not lie, one of the things we like about hockey is the fights. One of the things we like about NASCAR racing is the big one. And if you hang around Richmond long enough, we know the big one is just not a matter of if, but when.
Well, I think that's the thing, you know, racing in such close quarters here and at these speeds. Again, if you ask some of these drivers, you know, it's a short track that races like a super speedway. So you're carrying a lot of speed here. So when you hit hard. And usually, you know, if you get the wall, you're going to get another car or two with you. So I think that's part of it. I mean, you've got to always be up on the wheel here. You know, your car's got to be able to have some really good horsepower, especially down the front stretch. They really get up to speed quickly coming out of four and then slam on the brakes hard in turn one. I think that's why our fans that sit down in the turn one, two section like it so much. They see those brake rotors glowing. You see those great camera shots on TV as well. But it's hard on equipment here, that's for sure. You see these cars, you know, the winner's car in victory lane is usually not the cleanest car, let me tell you that.
Absolutely not. But right after Philly, Kevin Chapman also joins us, or is at least attempting to join us as he's fighting whatever it is that he's fighting. And you better get it together, Kevin, because right after the show, we're headed over to Lucas Oil Raceway because we've got the U.S. Nationals out there. And I know you're a NASCAR guy, Dennis, but what do you think about NHRA and those are some fast race machines?
Yeah, they are. Actually, when I worked out in Southern California and where I lived in Yorba Linda, California, was not far from one of John Force's race shops there, his Southern California shop. So I got to see him a lot, attended a lot of functions that he had at the shop out there, and just a great guy. I got to know him pretty well, and certainly we weren't that far from Pomona and Auto Club Dragway out there. So I actually got to see a lot of drag racing. Really didn't know or follow it very much when I was, you know, growing up or anything, but very impressed with what they do and how they run their events. Obviously, the NHRA is based out there in Southern California, so got to know those guys pretty well when I was out there. So great respect for what they do, that's for sure.
Well, absolutely, and we love the Forces. They're based here real close, just a few miles away from the Balance Studios, and we've had them, their whole family on, Brittany, Courtney. We had Brittany on last week, and John, and we love John. And what I like about John is, you know anything about media, when you ask a question and you like to get a very good answer. So John Force is a very good conversationalist on the show, and we've had him on. One time we had him on, we were doing our show live out there, we had him on live, and his people was like, well, you 10 minutes, you know, and he sat there with us for 45 minutes. So
that's,
you know,
no surprise. Let me tell you, that guy's amazing.
Absolutely, Kevin, Redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, no, I was just going to say the same thing with John, and like you said, we had Brittany on, and the Forces are, you know, and every sport has that your drivers that are, for lack of better terms, hard to approach. And then you have your drivers that kind of go out of their way to approach the fans instead of the fans approach them. But I think the Force family is that type of drivers. They go out of their way. But, you know, like you said earlier, this, when we come to your track for NASCAR, this year is an entirely different drama involved in it. But the outside of the 16 that are sitting in the chase today, is there that driver that you see coming into Richmond and being that surprise chase entry?
Well, actually, one that jumps out in my mind would be Kyle Larson. I mean, he won the pole here in April, and you know, I think that young man has got unbelievable talent. I feel bad for him and what's happened to him in the last few weeks, because he was kind of firmly sitting inside one of those open spots, you know, on points without having to win. And then he's had a rough couple of weeks, and now he's really on the outside looking in. I think if he can get it together in Atlanta, he's a young guy that you might want to watch in Richmond. He's not afraid to stick his nose in anywhere to try to get a spot, and that's what you got to do here. So I'd watch Kyle Larson. You know, one of the other interesting guys to me would be Marcus Ambrose. You know, everyone thought that, you know, he had his shot maybe up at the Glen to try to get a win and get in. His teammate Eric Almirola's got a win, so he's in. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see, you know, Marcus Ambrose sniffing around the front of the field here at Richmond. So those are two guys that maybe when you come to Richmond, you don't think a lot about. You know, Marcus, we always, again, think of him on the road courses. And Kyle, we're still, you know, a lot of people are probably still trying to, you know, see what he can do on some of these short tracks. We know he's not afraid to go fast, but, he again, he's one of those guys that came up on the short tracks racing sprint cars and everything. So I keep an eye on those two guys as kind of guys that are kind of off the radar a little bit when everyone gets here next week.
Well, absolutely, and we're excited to have you on. Dennis Brinkmeyer, president of Richmond International Raceway. And, Dennis, we appreciate you taking some time to join us today. And I always like to ask whoever's on our show that one final question, and really it's kind of a uniform final question. One, is there anything that we haven't talked about that you'd like to share with our fans? And also, where can people, you know, follow you? And talk with us about your venue and what can fans expect? You know, well, one from the security aspect. Obviously, people like to go there and have fun, but at the same time, there's rules to abide. So, mm-hmm. Is there any special rules that keeps them out of jail or anything like that? We like to keep our fans out of jail.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Now, I think the biggest thing that I, you know, always remind everybody a couple things is, you know, go to RIR.com. We've got all kinds of great information there. A lot of our guest services information is there. Rules in regards to, you know, we don't charge for parking. You can still bring your own food and beverage in, so that's really cool. But I would go there. Certainly follow me on Twitter. I love interacting with the fans and everybody on Twitter. I'm at RIRPrez with a Z. Have a lot of fun there. Our Facebook page is a lot of fun and very interactive. But, you know, we spend a lot of time not just promoting and trying to sell tickets and everything. It is about getting the venue ready. We're in the home stretch now, trying to put the shine on the place and get the grass cut and all that stuff. But you're right, too. We spend a lot of time on the operations side of the event, making sure that we want people to come here, have a good time, be safe, you know, get home again. So we spend a lot of time working with our local law enforcement and everything, making sure we can get people in, get them out, and in between make sure they have a good time.
Well, absolutely, and I appreciate you coming on with us, and also, you know, I appreciate you taking some time to talk about an unplanned subject regarding Tony Stewart and giving your thoughts on that, and I know that's going to be a huge media attraction for you next week, and I know that you guys are going to be all prepared for that as well. As a track president, have you, knowing that Tony's going to be racing at your track next week, have you as a track or as an executive at the track reached out to Stuart Haas Racing, maybe given them any comfort, anything that they could expect differently than maybe normal, or just it's just another day at the office with you?
Yeah, it pretty much has been, you know, the latter. We've been monitoring it, and, you know, I'm sure we'll have some conversations with NASCAR this week about how things went in Atlanta, if there are any learnings in regards to the media operations and, you know, all the cameras that were following Tony around yesterday, and we'll be following him today and tomorrow, and we'll have that again here in Richmond, and I'm sure we'll figure out how we want to handle all that. But, you know, I know a few people in his shop, a few guys that work on the car and everything, but I've just kind of let them have their space. I think that's the most important thing right now. But, you know, if there is anything special that they need or that they want from me or our team, we'll certainly deliver it for them.
Is Tony going to be available to, I know, especially at Richmond, a lot of these short tracks, and as we know it, even the larger tracks here in Indianapolis, the one of the great things about NASCAR is that it is so fan-friendly. The drivers interact with the fans on a quite regular basis. Is Tony going to distance himself from the fans, or do you know?
Well, I just really don't know. I mean, I think it's all going to depend on what he wants and the experience that he's ready to, you know, to take on. And, you know, again, I think it's still a day-by-day, minute-by-minute type of thing. And we'll do whatever we can to make sure he's comfortable here at the racetrack And that's our job for everybody, whether it's the fans or the competitors, people in the industry. You know, we're here to work with them and put on an event and put on a good show for them. And, you know, we deal with a lot of requests, and when those requests come in, we manage our way through them.
I appreciate it. Well, you know, I appreciate you granting our request for you to come on today. And really, it's been a great time talking with you. And I look forward to, one, visiting your track, and two, having you on again in the future, Dennis.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, guys. And thanks a lot. And, yeah, you got to get out here. You got the redneck from Philly. He can show you around. He knows this place already. So you both have to come over.
All right, buddy. All right, Dennis. We'll talk to you soon. You have a good holiday weekend, sir.
All right. You do the same. Thanks.
All righty. Bye-bye. Dennis Brickmeyer, president of the Richmond International Raceway, joining us, talking with us about NASCAR, the big NASCAR race coming up there. But, you know, a lot of the fallout, and you know, unfortunately, Kevin, the fallout from Tony Stewart. And we played that press conference a little bit earlier. I know that you weren't on at the time. But it is also up on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. We've got a poll up there. Should Tony Stewart, is it too early for Tony Stewart to return to racing? Go there and vote at www.thebalanceonline.com. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente, myself, and that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman, right around the corner. We're going to be back because guess what, Kevin? It is college football Saturday, Notre Dame, IU. A lot of college football to talk about. And at 10:30, we got Gene Walker calling in from the Fourth Down Sports Show on Indiana Talks. We're going to be talking some NFL, Kevin, so I get you some hot tea, some lemon drops, or whatever it is you got to do, buddy, because we got an hour of, I was about to say hot talk, but I don't really want to put that between us. I mean, we're tight and everything, but we're not quite there. My name's Saul Marquis.
We're not that way.
Not that way. My name's Saul Marquis, El Presidente. Hey, thanks for Dennis Brickmeyer, president of Richmond International Raceway, joining us and talking with us about the Federated Auto Parts 400 next week, and certainly talking with us about Tony Stewart. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
I'd love to spit some beats and up in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, because a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Waking up.
to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm bringing in the kind of cold
linebacker with a stiff arm. What a play!
I just tried to run the ball, trying to give my team a great opportunity to win, and I did it.
The ball was in the air, coming toward you. What was in your mind?
Catch it and run.
As you crossed the goal line, what were you thinking?
It's amazing. God is good. God is good.
What did you learn about this team today?
Relentless. You know, we overcome adversity, and we stayed together, and we got the W.
Some people like to talk about destiny or magic, Chris. What applies to this team this season?
I just said it, relentless. Together was the thing we had coming in, and we stayed together the whole time. I'm proud of my teammates, coaches, and these fans.
I was in disbelief. You know, he zoomed right past me. You know, I was standing on the sideline, and he zoomed right past me. And, you know, I was in disbelief and shock that he scored that, you know, to end the game. I could have thought we were going to go in, you know, more time.
Well, the first thing I'm looking to, does it have enough distance, you know, and then I saw it didn't have enough distance, and so my eyes kind of got on Chris, and, you know, they had their field goal team out there with a lot of big guys, so I knew he only had to probably make a couple guys that could actually tackle miss, and, you know, made some good blocks, and he went down our sideline and scored a touchdown.
I'm proud of my team. I'm proud of those guys, and they fought to the very end.
Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Well, you know what that was. That was one soundbite from Auburn shocking the college world last year. Also, letting you know that it is time for College Football Saturday. We do this every Saturday morning. And we spend, sometimes a half hour, maybe a little bit longer, maybe a little bit less, talking college football. What's on deck? It all starts today. Can I get an amen? College football is back. Notre Dame, IU, we've got it all covered right here on the Balance Radio Network. It is College Football Saturday. Unfreaking believable, my friends. 917-889-8516. You want to talk some Notre Dame? You want to talk some IU, you want to talk some Auburn, you want to talk anything, you want to talk Big Ten, you want to talk, really, IU, we've got it. Football, we've got it. Because it is College Football Saturday on the Balance. Oh, yeah. Kevin Chapman, redneck from Philly, are you ready to talk some college football, my friend?
Well, I am. I'll tell you what, watching a couple of the first games, this season's shaping up to be pretty interesting.
Well, you know what, college football is, to me, man, you know, I love watching, don't get me wrong, I love NFL, everybody knows that, but I am just excited. I love watching college football. And as we've said here on the show, it's that in its purest form, if you will. At least we'd like to believe so. At least we've convinced ourselves of that. But I can tell you one thing, Kevin, that you can't go without at least starting the season of college football talk without talking about
the University of Notre Dame proudly presents its marching band, the Band of the Fighting Irish.
Well, All right. I tell you what. You know what? I will take the burning at the cross, if you will. I know I'm an IU alumni, and don't get me wrong, I love watching IU football. We'll get into some IU talk. But as a football, college football fan and living in the state of Indiana, it does not get any better than Notre Dame football. So, I have to admit it. I'll freely admit it. Notre Dame is my favorite college football team. I watch IU. I love IU. I'm an IU alumni. Let's go Hoosiers. But by golly, Notre Dame. Now, there's the team for you. And, you know, Kevin, I want to get in. We'll get into some actual football talk here in a minute. But certainly – Notre Dame has been in the news here recently just because of reasons. And, you know, I applaud Notre Dame for getting out in front of this and really trying to isolate the event with players that it's happened. As we know that there's been this we call a cheat gate, if you will, out at Notre Dame. And certainly they announced Thursday that a fifth player will join wide receiver Devarius Daniels and cornerback Kervair Russell, and defensive end Ishaq Williams and linebacker Kendall Moore. There you go. There's a normal name for us. Kendall Moore, I could go with that. In missing time due to an ongoing academic investigation. I don't know. Notre Dame did not name the player, this most recent player, in its official statement. And it read, as Notre Dame's internal investigation relating to potential NCAA violations reaches its conclusion, a decision has been made to hold a fifth football player out from practice and competition, as well as with all cases of suspected academic dishonesty, the matter will not be tolerated and is subject to the university's honor code process. We're talking about Notre Dame. The honor code process, that means something at Notre Dame. At least we would like to think so. You know, and Hardy, a senior, appeared 10 games and started two for Irish last season, recording 26 tackles and one tackle for a loss. Notre Dame, I don't know this whole thing on how it's panned out and what the investigation, and I guess it'll all come together for us. And certainly, if you want to talk about this, you could give us a call, 917-889-8516. We'll talk about it. Let's open this conversation. Let's open up this can of worms. There's a couple things that I find disturbing. We've got situations of academic cheating, or basically the way I understand it, and please know that this is just my understanding of it all, not necessarily the way that it may be. But the way I understand it is these kids were passing classes, getting the required grades to keep their scholarship, but MIA in class. So I'm thinking the official word from Notre Dame, Kevin, is that there's not been any conclusion that any academic personnel has been involved with this. You know, I went to college. I get that. You're your own person. You're an adult. You're either there or you're not there. I get that part of it. But there's only one or maybe two people, unless they've changed things, that actually record your academic grades or performance, and that is faculty. That is people who, instructors, professors, somebody of responsibility and leadership. There's a piece to the component that we're missing, and I applaud Notre Dame for getting out in front of this, but Kevin, we're missing something here.
Well, and I agree. And, you know, like you said, first off, you know, hats off to Notre Dame for stepping up and saying, hey, we have this problem. Because, you know, I guarantee you, Notre Dame is not the only school that has this issue. So, you know, props to Notre Dame for admitting, first off, before the NCAA admitted it for them. That's good there. But you're right. To say that there's nobody on the academic staff or whatever that, you know, has been found with anything. Well, there has to be someone in the academic staff that is part of this, because they're the ones that record the grades. They're the ones that say, yeah, the student's here. No, the student's not there. I'm all for schools getting those athletes that will give their team those wins, which being returned means more students go there, which means more better athletes want to play there. I get all that, but it still needs to boil down to that's a college. It's not a sport venue. It's a college, and that has to become top priority for all the schools out there to understand that, hey, it's great when that college gets four people in the first round of the NFL draft. But at the same token, they were put there to educate, not play football.
Right, and I absolutely agree with that. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I do want to get to what we're actually talking about, and that's college football. But, you know, the unfortunate thing is that we have to talk about it, I guess, and so we're talking about it. But it looks like Notre Dame is doing what they've got to do. It looks like they're doing the investigation. So we'll leave it to that, and we'll certainly talk about it after the investigation is complete. But certainly well worth mentioning that a fifth person is now involved with that. So, you know, first of all, you get a football scholarship to Notre Dame or any school for that matter. But, you know, Notre Dame, come on. We've all seen Rudy. Come on now. Notre Dame is something special. You know, Rudy. I mean, that. I don't know. It looks to me like that you go to Notre Dame on a scholarship athletically. But my God, you're also getting a diploma on the wall, a graduate of Notre Dame University. In a lot of ways, does not get any better than that for a job resume. Well, today, 3:30 p.m., Notre Dame, South Bend, Indiana. Well, they take on the Rice Owls. Maybe it's a local high school, not really sure, but no. Sure. Go ahead.
I'll say Rice Owls, that's one of those padded first cup games right there.
Is that anything like rice cakes or?
Probably.
I don't know. I'm kidding about that, obviously. And obviously Rice University, you know, you want to know where Rice University is in Houston, Texas. And they've got about 6,228 students. They play in the Reckling Park Stadium, and their head coach is David Bailiff. So now we know who the Rice Owls are, going up against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, going in at number 7. You know, we could break down this game if you want. I mean, certainly, talk about shocking the world if Rice was to win. You know, nothing against them. I'm sure that they're a great school, and, you know, but, you know, this is the first time I've heard about it, you know, doing show prep. So, you know, I'm thinking that maybe if you're a betting man, not that I encourage betting on college football, but if you were that type of person and you were putting some money down, I would say that you want to stick with Notre Dame. That's just my opinion. No official Vegas word on anything like that. But if you're gonna bet on some football and you're not just trying to win a lot of money from the what ifs. Stick with Notre Dame, Kevin.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much said and done right there, those.
So what happened to your voice, brother?
I don't know. It's been this way since yesterday morning when I woke up. I have yet to figure it out. I've tried tea, coffee, honey in my tea every day, and I can't figure it out.
I don't know.
Right.
You sound like a 13-year-old. You know, my neighbor, little neighbor, 13-year-old boy, come over to come over to weed whack the house the other day. I didn't let him do it. I should have hired him because now that would have taken some stuff off of me to do. Yeah, you sound a lot like him. You sound
hey,
a lot like
that ain't right.
Man, I'm telling you, if you're going through puberty late in life, it's all good.
Well, you know, things happen.
Things happen. Well, let's talk. You know, we got another good game going on today. Certainly, IU and Indiana State going to be going on. So IU football, certainly. You know, the thing about it is, and Indiana State has not really been what I would call a team that is a pushover when it comes to, you know, preseason. I certainly think that this is a game that you could look for IU to win, but, you know, Indiana State, you know, those sycamore trees out there, man, they can play some football.
Well, they can, and you know, we've talked about this with IU. You know, IU has those games where they look great, and then I don't know what happens. They become IU again when it comes to football. I don't know. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of the opening weeks. You know, I was surprised with Texas A&M. You know, first off, thank God that Johnny Football got beat. Well, not beat, but Johnny Football's records no longer stand in Texas A&M.
I agree with you. There is no more Johnny Football in Texas A&M. And you know what, though? Johnny played a little bit for Cleveland this week. And you know what? Unfortunately, he did make a good showing. And I did pick him up in another fantasy football draft. So, you know, we'll see how that turns out. But, hey, it's college football weekend here in Indianapolis. We've got the U.S. Nationals. And, you know, there's a little-known country guy going to be out there, Kalipsch, also named by the name of Luke Bryan this weekend. Or was that last night? I'm not sure. But
both.
Both. Okay. So, yeah. You know, if you're a country music fan, I hear that he's the all the rage. You know, all the rage. All the girls at the office were talking about it. So, you know, Luke Bryan, I guess.
Well, he sold out last night and he sold out tonight. So, and normally at the Clips, they're there one night, and this guy sold out two nights in a row. So, right now he is the hot thing for the girls to follow in country music.
The hot things for the girls. You mean they don't follow the redneck from Philly?
Well, you know, I don't want to say that on air, but yes.
Well, guys, my name's El Marcos El Presidente. You know, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to regroup. We'll get back, and we're going to get into some college football talk. I do want to talk in depth to some of these games, but I also want to involve Gene Walker in the conversation with us, and also I want to get his thoughts on some things going on with the NFL. So we are going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to be our final segment. Can you imagine? It's already been 2 hours. We had a great time. You know, we played the presser of Tony Stewart, and then we had a great conversation with Dennis Blakemeyer of the Richmond International Raceway. We talked some college football. In a moment, we're going to be talking with Gene Walker of Fourth Down Sports Show on Indiana Talks. I'm going to tell you what. As I've said the whole show, if you've missed a lot, if you've missed a little, you've missed a lot. My name's Tom Marquez, El Presidente. We're going to take a break. We'll get back. Our final segment of the day right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Saul Mark Lassell, Presidente. It's College Football Saturday. Of course, we're getting into some NFL talk here in just a moment. Myself, Matt Redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman, and also joining us from the Fourth Down Sports Show on Indiana Talks is Mr. Gene Walker. Gene, how you doing, sir?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. Please tell me I said the name of your show right.
You did.
Okay, because sometimes I second-guess myself. And, you know, last week, funny story, last week I had Scott Smith on from Lucas Oil Raceway, and I inadvertently called it the Mack Tools U.S. Nationals, and they had changed sponsorships over to the Chevy Performance U.S. Nationals. So I was kindly corrected on that, so I wanted to make sure that, you know, I would never want to mess up you, because not only do you do the Fourth Down Sports Talk Show, you manage MMA, and, you know, I wouldn't want to honk you off. That's all I'm saying, brother.
I appreciate the honesty, but if that's all it would take, I'd probably just send the police after me now.
we're joined by Gene Walker, certainly on the Fourth Down Sports Show. I did it. I knew I would do it on Indiana Talks. But we appreciate you joining, and I want to get into some NFL talk, and certainly I want to really hone in on the new rule that was passed down by the NFL this week. But I want to get your thoughts as we kind of go across the board on the NCAA, and certainly looking at the Big Ten, and we're looking at IU and IU's strength of schedule. And I know we have a lot of IU fans, a lot of Notre Dame fans, so we're going to kind of recap a little bit from Notre Dame. We were just talking a little bit about the academic issues with Notre Dame, and certainly about their year coming up. But then we look at Indiana and Indiana State great today. So as we kind of focus in on Indiana, because we certainly are on Indiana Talks from 1 to 3 today on our encore show. You're on Indiana Talks. We've got a lot of regional Indiana fans. Let me start with Notre Dame. Look at Notre Dame and the academic issues. Notre Dame has got out in front of this. My problem with this whole thing, not that they've done anything wrong, they've certainly done the right things when it comes to the players. But what the way I understand it, Gene, and I know you have a lot more depth understanding of this than I do. The way I understand this academic issue, these kids were being passed and getting good academic grades to keep their scholarship, but were never going to class. My whole hole in this and problem with what Notre Dame has done is they've not identified any faculty that's been involved with this. Can you kind of help us understand what has happened out at Notre Dame University?
The question that has to be asked of whether there is, at least in my opinion, malfeasance on a campus when it comes to this kind of thing, number one, is it systematic from the start? In other words, a player comes from whatever high school, being recruited, and then when he goes to that said university, does he have any business being there to start with? That's where you start right there. If the player goes in and there's really no way that this guy should have got through the clearinghouse, there's no way that this guy should have had the grades to even get in. If they ship him off to a junior college and then somehow shuffle him back through, or if they get him through right off the bat, is the problem there? So in other words, we identify whether or not the university has an issue at that point. Now, if these guys did belong at the university academically, then it might not be so much the university, then it becomes something internal as far as maybe one or two individuals then come along and say, okay, listen, we can make your life easier, and this is how we're going to do it. But wherever this breakup in the line comes is how much, I guess, said blame you give to one school or not. If a kid does not have any business being on the campus, then that is the university's problem. And if they've had more than one, then the problem grows bigger. If, in fact, he belonged on the campus, but somebody said, you're having problems in just this one area, we're going to kind of slide you through, then you have to get right to that person and extract the issue if that's what you want to do. Remember, whenever you claim somebody's done something, though, whenever you try to, you know, out somebody, you have to have proof beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you have to figure out how you're going to handle either getting rid of that person or what you're going to do about it. You can't just merely say, well, I know it was a teacher, and then that's it. A lot of times when you have these problems, North Carolina, Florida, though nobody wants to talk about it, and other schools, you know, professors basically have been told at times by certain schools when they've come to, hey, your player, your linebacker's got a really bad grade here. And they would just kind of look at them like, yeah, well, later on we'll tell you how that works. And then the next thing you know, that person doesn't have an F anymore, D minus, to have a C plus or whatever makes them eligible. This kind of thing has happened in several places, but it's funny how some are brought up on it and some aren't. I think Notre Dame right now, from where I'm sitting, is handling it the best way they can. I agree with what you said earlier. They're not really arguing the point. It's hard, though, when a person gets accused of something to immediately say that they're guilty of it. But these four or five guys, this is a big loss for them if they can't play, if they're gone, and they're also holding somebody out right now. Somebody else right now is being investigated as well, another player that they're holding out of the game today.
Well, we're talking with Gene Walker and also the redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. Kevin, I know we were just talking a little bit about this very same issue, and I certainly wanted to get into this conversation with Gene because Gene has a very unique ability of giving us a in-depth understanding of events that have happened. And so when things get technical, I like to call on Gene. But, Kevin, go ahead. Any questions that you have for Gene regarding the Notre Dame academic issues before we get into some of these games?
Well, not really any questions, but like what we talked about earlier, Tom, and I'd kind of like to see if he feels the same way I do, that in the sense of, you know, and you kind of hit the nail on the head when you said that people don't want to talk about Florida, you know. And the comment I made earlier was that Notre Dame by far is not the only school out there that has this issue. And the other thing I like that you brought up is the first thing we need to look at is I understand football to certain schools sells tickets to the games, which sells money from the alumni, which brings things to school, which brings, your people will come to Notre Dame because of their football program, even if they don't play football. I get all that. But you're right. We need to look at how are half these players even getting there. The reality is, not half, but there's a lot of players that have absolutely no business being in schools like Notre Dame. Because academically, if they weren't that star linebacker or that star running back, they would have never made it to Notre Dame based on a high school academic.
Go ahead, Gene. Are you there?
Well, he's absolutely right. And that is the thing. We go back, and I think Notre Dame is the best example of it. When we talked about how do you compete with schools that don't have the same academic rail that you have to climb. This is something that Delaney brought up a long time ago that ticked a lot of people off in the South. But the bottom line is, if you can carry 35 or whatever the number is, of kids that are sitting here that are academic probation kind of people, but they're amazing athletes, and you can keep them in your system, whether it be a junior college feeder system or whatever, you're allowed to kind of offer them a scholarship in lieu, and then, of course, you take them to the process of a year of rehabbing themselves at whatever community college, and they come back. But the Big Ten schools, as an example, are basically allowed around 23. Now, I don't know if that number has changed over the years. I think it's been increased a little bit. But the argument is, can you win major college football championships with great students up and down your team? The answer unequivocally to this point has been no, you can't. That does not mean that every kid in there has to be a B-minus student that can run around the world in a split second. But I think that when you're talking 70, 80, 90, 100 kids that any one of these universities are carrying, a lot of them hold guys that are just not academically sound. And in the South, we see more of them. In some Big Ten schools, we see a fair amount of them. And at Dame or Stanford or Duke or any of these kind of schools where, the academic standards are a little bit different or a lot different in some cases, they're just not able to compete. People don't, they wrote it off to you, well, do you need thugs to be in your school? Well, I don't necessarily say it's because a kid is a bad student, he's necessarily a thug. But it does go down that line of conversation at some point. And except for 88, the answer up in South Bend has been no, we can't do it and haven't done it. And is that an indictment on them? Well, we'll make up our minds as it goes, I guess.
We're talking with Gene Walker for the Fourth Down Sports Show in Indiana Talks. My name is Tom Mark with Sal Presidente, along with Kevin Chapman, that redneck from Philly. This is The Balance. And, I wanted to get into some of these games, but this is good conversation. And so we'll just kind of do a segue here. I know both of your Iowa teams, Gene, today are playing. Northern Iowa and Iowa are playing. Of course, we've got IU and Indiana State. We've got a great game lined up today, Ohio State and Navy as well. Purdue going against Western Michigan. So as we look at we got Michigan against Appalachian State, and we've got Notre Dame against Rice, the Rice Owls. So as a whole, on today's games, on the Big Ten and some of the games that you see, what are your thoughts on that? Because there's two NFL questions that I really want to get to your thoughts on. So go ahead, Gene.
Well, I'm going to pay attention to my Hawkeyes because it wouldn't matter who they could be playing Bumblebee State. I'd be watching the game. I'm stupid like that. But the games that are intriguing are probably more down south. I mean, even the Clemson game today with Georgia. There's some matchups out there I thought were pretty intriguing. I thought one of the big surprises, and I know I'm going back a little bit here, was, you're talking about Philadelphia, the way Temple looked against Vanderbilt the other night. And that game really took me back. I was like, this Temple team has come a long way. Texas A&M was unbelievable. Those are the things that shocked me. I don't know we're going to get a lot of answers on day one from a lot of these schools. We get more about Indiana State. If they can hang with the Hoosiers, then what we will know about Indiana by the end of the day.
Well, Gene, I want to get into some NFL conversations, and here's the thing. What I like about you is you give us some very in-depth answers, and maybe a lot of times answers that aren't the most popular answers, but certainly answers that I like your answers to the questions. And one of the things I want to get into, and I think you know where I'm going with this, is this domestic violence, domestic abuse ruling that the NFL passed down. Basically what happens is I think that they realized they were a little bit too lenient on Rice with the Baltimore Ravens and what happened there. Here he goes. He drags his fiance unconscious, who he knocked out in the elevator, out, and then he just gets two games, and they make up and they get married, and you know, we could get into that conversation. So I think that with the media and I think with the fan base, the NFL realized they had to come up with something that was a little bit more in depth. So now they've come out. I believe that the first time it happens, you're out for six games. Second time, you're out for life. Now, maybe that's a little drastic, but something has to be said. But is it going to send the appropriate message? There's two parts that concern me to that. One, we know that rich NFL players who come from a world that they're not used to the type of attention or money or, you know, I don't want to say that they're all thugs, but we can say they come from a part of element of society that misfortunately maybe is missed out on some things, inner city, not all of them, but for the most part, you know, so they come from an areas that maybe they're not used to things. You've got crazy psycho gold diggers who would say anything that maybe just throw them under the bus. So they've got to watch who the company they keep, which is lessons that have to be taught. And unfortunately, sometimes these lessons are going to be learned more than taught. But then secondly, you've got guys like Rice who clearly crossed the line in putting his hands on his woman. So what are your thoughts on that ruling and how it affects players, how it affects fans? Was it the right decision?
The point you make about any player being a target, you have self-responsibility. There is a point where these players, knowing this now, are going to have to think to themselves somewhere in their, you know, whatever's going through their mind, that I need to be careful. I think you're absolutely right about that. You know, domestic violence has been an issue in the NFL for decades. The only reason we're talking about it now is because Twitter, social media, jerks like me that won't get off the point, you know, I constantly push for this kind of thing. You go back to Tagliabue's era. You go back to Pete Rozelle. There just wasn't anything done about players messing up. Or if it was, it was on a very low scale. It wasn't a grand production of any kind. And I think what Goodell did here was the right thing to start doing. I know everybody's kind of down on him. But, you know, at a certain point, what are you going to do? If a business and the owners tell him, your job is to make us money, well, Tagliabue heard that and said, okay. And in that thrust of making money for the NFL, which they did on a grand scale, a lot of these other things started slipping through the cracks. And now you have a Goodell who's sitting there thinking, okay, well, is this my job too? Or do I have to appease the fans? The fans have not cried for anything. Guys, you got to remember, the fans did not cry for Ben Roethlisberger's head. They didn't cry for Ray Lewis's head. They didn't cry for Michael Vick's head, except for maybe a few or a very few. And so if you're back there as a business guy and you're like, well, you know what, all my fans want to make sure, all my fans want is a Super Bowl, all my fans want to do is be able to come here and go nuts on Sunday, what is the incentive, unless the person is a stand-up owner, a stand-up guy, to go, you know, I've got an issue here and I've got to go and I've got to do something about this. I've got the players you need to deal with. So that's where this comes from. And until the fans finally went, all right, you know, we've seen it on videotape, so maybe we should start getting a little upset about this. I don't even know if it was fans so much. It was just the general public. So do I think something needs to be done? I do. A lifetime ban, that's pretty harsh. But, again, nothing has been done up to this point. And as you know how I feel, Tom, I really feel like there's a lot of NFL players that shouldn't be playing in the league right now for the stuff that they've pulled off. I mean, Alden Smith right now, I think, has a bigger issue than a bad attitude. I think when you walk into an airport and start talking about bombs, you are on a different level.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Well, we're talking with Gene Walker, the Fourth Down Sports Show on Indiana Talks, and really enjoy having him on. Certainly no stranger to sports talk, and it really breaks it down for us. Kevin Chapman, the Redneck from Philly. Kevin, what do you got for Gene on this whole domestic violence issue that's been passed down by the NFL? Well, hold on here. It would help if I turn his mic on. Go ahead, Kevin. Sorry about that. Go ahead, buddy.
You're good. I agree. Is it a little harsh with what the NFL is doing? Yes. But the sad part is the NFL is like anything else in society today. I mean, if you look at the society we have, we're very reactive when things happen. And when something happens, unfortunately, the only way to take care of it is to be drastic because – everybody's eyes are now on you. Everybody's watching. What are you going to do because of this happening? And the natural gut reaction is, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go extremely out in the left field and take care of this problem. But the NFL needed to do something. I mean, you're going to suspend a guy, and you know I'm not a Colts fan, and I know I'm in Indy, and I shouldn't say that, but I'm not. You know, I'm the Philly fan. You suspend a guy for 4 games for taking drugs to have a job with his wife, but you're going to suspend a guy for 2 weeks, 2 games, for beating the tar out of somebody. Something needed to happen, but I guess the question would be is, why is everything so reactive? I mean, this isn't an issue that came out in society this year. Why do you think it took so long for the NFL to say, okay, we need to fix this, other than, like you said earlier, the dollar value of, hey, society in general knows domestic violence is a problem. They don't have an issue with it with our football players because we got to win on Sunday. Other than that, what do you think?
Well, how much does the public need the NFL? And the answer is the NFL public needs it like a drug. So there's your problem. I love football. I named my company after a football term, and I coached it and played it. I love it. But when a fan base or a capital market needs something as bad as people need something on Sunday, they're willing to overlook a lot of stuff. And, you know, I'll give you an example. I go back to Roethlisberger. I talked to some Steeler fans about this. I got a lot of friends that are in Pittsburgh. I think it's a great town. The person that defended him the biggest about that situation, the most amount of verbiage I got from any of them, was a woman Steeler fan. And she said something to me that floored me. Do you know what the girl was wearing that night in that bar? Now, you would think that would come out of the mouth of a man or somebody
yeah.
Didn't care. That came out of the mouth of a woman Steelers fan. The thing is, it's not like this starts at the pro level. This starts at the high school level. And one of our kids that ended up making the NFL that I coached back in California, he had some minor thing. He went over to the grocery store and stole some bubble gum. Well, his parents happened to be people that weren't going to play. His dad had been a former NFL player, and they got on him about that. I promise you, though, nobody suspended him. It starts there, and it moves on. And then you get to college. And unless you're at a certain university that gets on you, it's made okay for you. I mean, they sent Pac-Man Jones to the rookie meetings to say, don't be me. Don't be me. And those rookies had to be thinking, why not? You've been arrested 10 times. You've been arrested that I know of 10 times, and you're still earning a paycheck. I've been arrested at least 5 times. I should be good. So that's the problem is that you know, you have to deal with the player union. The lawyers are going to sit there, and they're going to give you some crap about it because that's their job. If the public, if it's a third stringer, oh, look what we did. We did a great job by this third stringer. I mean, the Colts cut this kid. kid down in Indianapolis a couple weeks back because of a rule violation, and then yet actually considered or is considered, or Tom knows more about it, bringing in Richie Incognito. See,
which, I'm glad you brought that up because that's exactly where I was going with my next question. So go ahead and talk about Richie Incognito because he does not need to be here at the Colts. I did not mean to interrupt you, but you're absolutely right.
No.
Go ahead, Gene.
You know, I mean, of all the people that we have, I'm sure somebody would find what Ray Lewis to be more egregious or Ben or any of those guys, and they're probably right. The question I got is, why was there a pass given Incognito by the players? There was an assumption because he had racist remarks that the black players on his team didn't like him, but that wasn't the truth. This was an alpha male situation where they suck out the weakest guy, and they punished him for being that. Andrew Luck is a good friend with Martin. Now, will Andrew Luck step up and say something? Because if I'm Andrew Luck, I don't care if I'm in my third year. If I'm Andrew Luck and Martin was really the friend they say that he was, if that's the case, I go to Irsay or go to the management and say, if you bring this guy in here, you and I now have an issue, and walk out the room. That simple. Do you think Richie Incognito is going to come and play for the Colts then?
Oh, I love
no.
it. And you know, and here's the thing. I guess, you know, we don't have time to get into it, but I guess everybody deserves some second chances, but there has to be some uniformity. Incognito does not belong with the Colts, and I promise you we will get into this conversation again. We only got about 4 minutes left on the clock. Gene Walker, I'm gonna let you say whatever comes to mind. Anything we've haven't talked about, you want to talk about, certainly talk with us about what's going on the Fourth Down Sports Show this week. Go ahead, sir.
Well, just remember, too, before I get off Incognito, he was also moved out of Nebraska for violence and Washington during college. This was not an isolated incident with him. This has been a track record over many years of being this kind of person. So let's be fair about that. As far as the rest of it goes, you know, like I say, I'm looking forward to the NFL season. You know, I helped my buddy make his fantasy draft the other day, and I'll probably be losing my man card over the whole thing because after he got all the players that he wanted, the only song on the radio that we could hear was Katy Perry's Walking on Air, and we lost it. And unfortunately, there were people watching us dance like that. And you can't be caught dancing to Walking on Air and keep your man card. So, you know, we've got a hearing coming up, I think, Wednesday at like 3 in the afternoon. Wish me luck on that. My whole thing right now is I'm looking forward to football. I've always said football could start a week or two later than it does. I think August games blow. I think it's too hot. And I think we could extend it longer, which makes even shorter amount of time between the end of the college season and the bowl game. They've done a better job about that, but the less time between those games, the better the games are, I think, or the better it'll be for the team. As long as they have a couple weeks to heal up and whatever. And, we cover everything on the fourth down, you know. I mean, obviously, UFC has a fight tonight, so we'll talk about that and whatever comes about and just, you know, get after it and have fun. That's what we do.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. Gene Walker from our friends over at Indiana Talks. Remember, catch our encore presentation of this show between 1 and 3, so you'll be able to hear Gene again on Indiana Talks between 1 and 3. That's going to do it for us, Gene. I appreciate you you joining us today, sir.
Take care of yourself.
All righty. Gene Walker, Kevin, I love having Gene on. He knows his stuff, and I know the topics to bring him on, and he is awesome to bring on the show. I wish we had time to really get into a lot of that, which we don't. Of course, remember the U.S. Nationals, the Chevy Performance U.S. Nationals going on out at Lucas Oil Raceway. Kevin, I know that I'm going to be out there a little bit later on this afternoon. I got a couple things to do before I get out there, but I'm going to be out there as well. Hope that you get out there with us as well. Kevin, you got 1 minute to give us the redneck from Philly, the redneck rant, if you will.
There's a lot to rant on, like we were talking about earlier. I mean, you could talk about the college football issues. You could talk about a lot of things, but I have to agree, and I'm not a Colts fan, you know that. I'm the redneck for Philly. I'm a Philly fan, but I'll tell you right now, I've always, always had respect for the Indianapolis Colts organization, for the level of integrity they have with Dungy, you know, everything else. And if they bring him in, I don't know. The respect I have for them, I have to honestly say, is going to change. There's absolutely no reason, absolutely none, that Indianapolis has to bring in a player like that. I don't care about injuries. I don't care about needing players. I don't. The fact is, he has absolutely no business, one, be playing football, but two, definitely no business in playing football at Indianapolis.
All right, Kevin Chapman, I appreciate you joining us. We'll catch you again and later on this today out at the track, buddy. You have yourself a good weekend.
Yes, sir. See you in a little bit.
All righty. Kevin Chapman, Redneck from Philly. My name is Hall Mark with El Presidente. Guys, it's been great having you with us. Thanks so much to Dennis Blakemeyer, president of Richmond International Speedway. Also, Gene Walker of the Fourth Down Sports Show joining us. I want to, welcome back Tony Stewart to NASCAR. Keep an open mind to that, guys, as well. Guys, it's been great. Remember, it's Labor Day weekend, and go out there, enjoy yourself, have a few adult beverages. Just remember, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. My name is Saul Mark Wazell, Presidente. Follow us on social media. We'll see you again very soon right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.